Hi, everyone. It's Dr. Denise. This is the Dr. Denise Show, and this is the Embrace Your Neurostyle series. And Lisa Davis, MPH, is here with me today. Lisa, how are you?
I'm good, Dr. Denise. I'm so excited about this series. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, my goodness. So, Lisa, first of all, I want to just do a pause and really thank you for all of the love, devotion to health, wellness, racial equality, gender equality, and just all the years that you've been devoted doing podcasting, also with your Master's of Public Health, you know, the books that you've written. I just want to really express gratitude. So thank you for all that you do.
Oh, thank you, hon. I mean, thank you, Dr. Denise.
By the way, everyone, Lisa and I are really fortunate. We have had some fun. Not only have I been on her shows, you know, she's been on mine, but I was really fortunate to contribute to her book, Clean Eating and Dirty Sex. Then she and I went on to have some fun co-hosting some shows together. So it's okay to say, hon, we're just having fun here. So I want to actually, right before the interview, I really like to kind of tune in, not only to you and I, but to the greater presence of what this is all about. And one of my biggest passions is changing the way we think, talk, and act about mental health. And I am holding a book in my hand that's called Easy to Love, But Hard to Live With: Real People, Invisible Disabilities, and True Stories. And this is a book that you edited and you contributed to, and you are so passionate about what I'm passionate about. So that's why I'm so excited to have you here.
Oh, this book, it's something. It's really special to me. And I think that it can help so many people, because there's so many people who live with invisible disabilities, and there's like a myriad of challenges that comes with that.
Right. And I think, you know, you and I've talked about it, you know, our children or our friends or my patients, or, you know, people could make assumptions by how we look on the outside, whatever earth costume we're wearing, but then we almost like forget that we all process and perceive things in our own unique way. And so I started using the term neurostyle, which is defined by that we all process and perceive things. And I just want to say thank you for coming on to this particular series, because I'd love to almost like pick your brain, like what it is about the power of words, thoughts, and actions that we can get to kind of open people's minds up so they start thinking of each other differently.
Yeah, it's so interesting. You know, my daughter who has NVLD, and I just want to read a description.
Can you let everyone know what that is? Because I think not everyone knows.
Yeah, so it's not a good name. So it's nonverbal learning disorder, which makes people think that you're nonverbal. But these are kids who are incredibly verbal. I'm going to literally read the definition. NVLD often is mischaracterized as a speech difficulty due to its name. They generally have strong verbal skills. Instead, they struggle with math, executive function, and fine motor and social skills. Other common difficulties include reading comprehension, understanding maps, and following dance moves. The reason I brought this up is because it literally says falling dance moves. So my daughter, I'm so proud of her. She's in her first play ever. It is musical Mamma Mia. She's made a few friends, which is great. And even though she literally will show them on her phone the definition. They're like, oh, you'll get the dance moves. And she's like, no, I'm doing my best. It's like, you know, you'll show someone a sequence of moves, and it's like her brain scrambles them up a little bit. But she's still doing it.
Yay. And is she having, the other thing too is she having fun?
She is, but she also, you know, knows that it's hard when you stand out, because people might wonder, well, is she not practicing enough, or why isn't she getting it? And that's the complication of an invisible disability. You look at her, she's a beautiful young woman, 17, living her life, and yet there's this thing that makes her different, and yet you can't see it. And that's why I think it's so important to talk about these invisible challenges.
Well, and also I think the word embrace, you know, this is called Embrace Your Neurostyle and Beyond. And I think that we're so multidimensional, right? We have our biological, psychological, social, cultural, and spiritual. Then I say the sixth sense, that's the fabulous five. And then the sixth sense is that unseen energy of intuition. And so can you imagine if when we're all young, we start to go, whoa, what's my way of processing the world? Like, but that it's like a universal discussion so that we have that awareness. Because I feel like one of the biggest things, and I would love for you to comment on this, is the concept of not only acceptance and awareness of ourselves, but others too. And I want you to maybe comment on like just the idea of shame and how that plays into invisible disabilities.
Oh, absolutely. Again, when people look at you, they expect you to be able to do all the things that everyone else is doing. They expect you to be able to have great social skills and not freeze up and maybe not act quirky, like you're supposed to be normal. And I'm using air quotes. And that's something that both my mother and my daughter ran into, where, oh, Diane, it's just all in your head. You're fine. You don't have the anxiety, or you don't have, you know, these horrible sensory processing issues, which they didn't have the language back then. So, but we discover now that she did have those sensory issues.
First of all, I want to honor your mom, who is what I believe energetically still here. And also, of course, here in your heart, but she's not in the earth plane. But in the book, when I read your portion of the book, can you let everyone know like the window into her sensory style and what it was like for you as a child, and just how this relates to how you view the universe now?
Well, it was very challenging. I mean, I begin the story talking about that, you know, she would, I was a latchkey kid, but with an at-home parent.
She wasn't working.
Yeah, she was in her room with the blinds shut, and she liked it dark and quiet, and she would be meditating, again, air quotes. She really just couldn't deal with the overload of the world. But of course, we didn't have the language, we didn't understand. And, you know, she was very sensitive to taste and temperature and touch and all kinds of things. And it just, you know, I was that kid with the weird mom. Why is your mom weird? Why can't she drive us to the mall? Why is she in her room all the time? Why can't you, why don't we ever, you know, you don't ever want to have friends over? It's like, no, I don't want to be in my house.
So I have a question. First of all, when you were a kid and they would ask you that, how did you feel and how did you cope?
God, it's so good. I don't know.
Are you feeling sad, or did you put it in a compartment? Like, because we all process even how we react to others in our own way, right? Sometimes it's so, like, you know, I mean, if you don't remember, that's okay. I was just wondering how you as a child processed that feeling.
Well, I processed it mostly by trying to be out of the house as much as possible. I mean, I basically spent as much time at my best friend Cindy's house as I possibly could, because when I was home, I had to take care of my mom, and that's not the responsibility of a child. And so I knew things were off. You know, I knew in other households, the moms, and this was in the 70s, 80s, you know, took care of things, or the dads. But I knew that this wasn't the norm, but I didn't have the language to describe it. But I did get upset when people would say, oh, you know, it's just in her head. Like, I knew there was something going on. I just didn't know what it was, and neither did she. And that's the heartbreaking thing of, especially back then, having an invisible challenge and not getting any validation. And that's one of the main reasons I wrote the book, Easy to Love to Hard, but Hard to Live With, because at least with my daughter, she has diagnoses, she has an IEP, she has support. Even if some of her friends are like, oh, you can just learn the dance moves, it's like, okay, whatever, you know, they don't totally get it, but wow, what a different world my daughter lives in compared to what my mother had to go through.
Well, that's actually what I was going to say, that level of awareness. And does your daughter proudly say, like, this is my style, or this is my narrow style, or this is who I am? Like, what's your own, you know, I believe, and I think you might too, that our children are our biggest teachers.
Yeah.
So maybe what have you learned through Lila's way of navigating the world, given her level of sensory awareness?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I mean, she's up and down. I mean, she wants to be a normal teenage girl. You know, and so for her, she'll get down on herself, and my husband and I will prop her up because she's creative and she deserves it. She's an amazing person. And I think she is able to tap into her strengths more as she gets older. But I think for a long time, she felt badly about herself because the other kids contribute to you feeling badly. You know, they leave you out, or they make fun of you, or if you're pulled out of class, you know, 10 times a day, then you're not sort of enmeshed in this group setting. You're not, you're kind of an outsider. So I think it's taken a while for her to find her people who accept her, and then that helps her accept herself. I mean, that's the sad reality. I wish I had a prettier picture to paint, but it's very challenging.
Did you have you, I know you said that she's 17, as a mother, has she, have you seen her have these aha moments of integrative self-love and awareness, or does that go up and down as well still? Is this like a really tough time?
That goes up and down. Yeah, she's really hard on herself. Even in the car this morning, just out of nowhere, she said, you know, Mom, I have to be kinder to myself. I've been saying that for years. You've got to just love yourself. And it was great to hear it from her where she's like, you know what? I really need to just stop beating myself up.
So I'm going to, because you and I know one another and we're talking about being mothers, right? You know, you're going to have your bio and all the accolades that you do in the universe, podcasting, author, you know, bridge of so many, but that vulnerability, I want to go there with you and I, because both of our children have what I would say unique neurostyles. And I mean, we all do, but I will tell you just maybe this, you can relate to this. I remember one time when my son and I were trying to just go to a normal, quote unquote, normal birthday party. And the level of sensory overload it was for him. He was like, do I have to go? I don't want to go. How many people are going to be there? And this isn't just social anxiety. This is more, you know, his awareness is sensory overload. So imagine, you know, we get dropped off. We're from a planet, like let's say we're from Mars. And all of a sudden we parachute into Times Square. And that's our first place that we as beings feel. And it's like all this sensory is coming at you. So the way I understand my son, from what he said when he was going to this birthday party, I think he was about 7 or 8, I just felt so much compassion for him because every noise, every this, every unpredictable situation, it was just too many. Like, and also for him to keep track of conversations, it was more than just any. By the way, I try not to use labels for him because I want him to, when he gets older, present himself to the world because he's so charismatic and he's just a fun handful. So I just want to do qualitative descriptions.
Sure.
So his level of focus and then his sensory overload made birthday parties and things really, really challenging. And then he also had an IEP when he was in public school. But can I just like relate? Have you had social situations where it's almost like you're there with your child, but you love them so much that you're feeling all their feelings?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And it's also, I've been there where I like kind of want to jump in and I feel like sometimes I want to protect her from herself, meaning, you know, sometimes she'll do that thing where, you know, a group of kids is talking about something and then she'll bring up some inside joke with her dad or something. Like she doesn't do it as much. She'd be like, Mom, I don't do that anymore. But recently I was in a situation where I thought she was. So I was like, oh, you shouldn't share that. That's family thing. She got really upset with me. She's like, you don't think I was going to catch myself? You don't. And I said that because just so her friends wouldn't think, it's hard to explain, but it was like, I shouldn't have jumped in. Basically, I felt like I don't want her to do something that are going to make her friends look like, what is she like? Why is she doing that? Rather than let her figure it out. And if she does it, if they're really her friends, they'll be like, oh, that's fine. You know, we all say socially awkward things sometimes. Right. But it's that sense of, I feel like I have to jump in. Have you ever felt that? And I'm definitely not, I'm trying really hard not to do that.
Yes. And like, as I'm listening to us, I was thinking, yes, but I also, you know, I also will say though, I remember the very first time that I knew my son was way different sensory wise than anyone else. And it was a 4th of July when he was, I believe, 3 years old. And all of a sudden the fireworks went off. And when the fireworks went off for him, everyone else was, yay, he started crying as though someone shot him. And I needed to take him. The level of tears, the level of trauma, and I wasn't driving that night, so I didn't have a way home. I was with, I was just with a group of friends. And I had to go around to behind a brick building and just hold him and hold that space for him. And that is one of the very first things. And then, you know, textures, and then, you know, they start to go to school. This is for all of us. You know, think back to every one of us that's a parent, that we start to figure out, how is our child relating to the world? How are they in groups? How are they at school? How are they socially? And then we send them off to school. And I feel like I wish, as an adult and child psychiatrist, and as a mother, I wish this concept of honoring invisible feeling states, embracing your neurostyle, I just want that to be like a universal curriculum, so that it's just normalized and celebrated, that not everyone, like we're all, like it's starting to be, but it wouldn't it be cool if that was just integrated straight into the preschools?
Oh, it'd be amazing. You know, when you mentioned that fireworks story, my daughter, when she was a baby, would cry when the wind blew on her cheek. Aww. I mean, it wasn't even a powerful wind. And that was like, oh boy, we're going into Diane territory. You know, like, oh boy, here comes the sensory. So yeah, it was pretty clear very early.
Well, and so you got a chance to listen to, by the way, you've met Kathleen O'Toole. Yes. And then you did listen to that particular show on Embrace Your Neurostyle.
That was great.
What was your, I really, you know, want to elevate, you know, your level of wisdom. And I want to just get you to sort of say what your thoughts are on that, that we can relate back to our children or go where the conversation's going to go.
I think what really stood out to me, well, the Fabulous Five was incredible, but I think what really stood out to me was that whole sense of that embrace. We really focused on what that means and why it's so important. And I think, how do we get there?
Yeah. Right?
How do we get there from where we are now with the judgments and the looks? And, you know, my daughter said, Mom, I walk down the hall and literally people just, it's like I'm invisible. Even people I didn't go to elementary school with, so they didn't know how I used to be. It's like this thing. I have a sign on me that says I'm a weirdo.
She's saying that right now?
She's saying that right now, which is heartbreaking.
I want to just hold Lila, and I also want to hold any child in the universe that is brave enough to go to school every day when they're maybe number one, maybe they're not quite comfortable in their own skin. Number two, maybe there's bullying going on. Number three, maybe a school that they're in or a work situation seems like it's allegedly more inclusive than it is, but it's not. You know, that's tough. Right. I look at it's Lila. Really tough. Karen used to go to a public school that they did their best, but he used to look at me when he left my car and said, pick me, you're picking me up from prison at 2 o'clock. You know, you're going to bail me out of prison, Mom. Every day. And he meant it. And when he would get in the car, I had purposely made my, I'm really fortunate to be able to make my schedule. So it seems as though I'm like a stay-at-home mom. I just am so flexible that I wanted to be there to hold that space for him when I picked him up and he was so upset. So I could then go to the IEP or be the voice for him. And then I had, I don't know about you, but when my child's suffering, I have like a greater compassion for all children and all people, because I'm like, oh my goodness, if I have this much education, this ability to talk, and I'm still having a child that's not happy. But by the way, I will tell you a good story in a minute. But how is that for the rest of the world? Like, what if you're a parent like your mom, or what if you're someone who doesn't even have an awareness that they're sensory issues and you just think that person's difficult or aloof?
Yes.
Or like, you know what I mean? Someone, if they're gorgeous and maybe they're having sensory issues and they just don't talk, you could think, who is that stuck up person? I mean, we all make assumptions based on what we observe. And I feel like even this topic of embrace your neurostyle, it's really more of like, you know, when you hit reset on a browser window on a computer, it's more just like a boom. Let's remember we aren't all, no matter what we look like, skin color, race, gender, age, sexuality, pronouns, everything. We're all here trying to do our best from a sensory standpoint on earth. So how do we embrace that part and love ourselves? I mean, I just have deep, deep compassion. Like Lila's at such a crucial age. And I know, wasn't she at a school a couple of years back where it was like a really great fit for her?
Yeah, you know what happened with that is that it was an hour and a half each way.
Oh my goodness.
And it just got to her. She needs a lot of downtime, and they also gave a lot of homework and they weren't that flexible, and I don't believe in homework.
I don't either. My son's at a school now. As an adult and child psychiatrist and as a mother who understands different neurostyle uniqueness, mm-hmm. I would say no homework for everyone. Why can't they get the schoolwork done in school and do like family enrichment or community enrichment or something that's your passion or your track?
Exactly.
Right? Like, because the earth, we need to volunteer more for the pollution. We need to help with bridging like communities. There's so much more we can do instead of buying into an old paradigm. The old paradigm in many ways, not just for our children, but, you know, with regard to business, race, and everything. The old paradigm's gone. It doesn't work. We know this.
Yeah, we absolutely do. And, you know, my father-in-law has seen Lila almost every day of her life since she was born. And I wasn't going to take away Grampy time for homework. And so as great as that school was, it just didn't work out. And I have to say, though, the public school has been great on the in terms of the academics and the IEP and everything. And the social has gotten better. And I think being in drama is great. And I think there are, I think our kids sometimes, at least I've found, and from my friends who have kids who are not neurotypical or who have different neuro styles, they find their tribe, but sometimes it takes a little longer.
Right.
And maybe it's a little later.
So I think what would be good, if we could do this briefly, give people some tips that are like new parents, because maybe if you're listening to this or however we're, whoever listens to this, I mean, I think for everyone, remember, and I'm also giving this as an adult and child psychiatrist. So if in preschool or in the early school days of elementary school, you're starting to get comments on the report card, you know, whether your child's shy, introverted, extroverted, having troubles with math, reading, know in your particular school situation all around the world what your rights are. Because there's right. testing. The sooner you get testing, let's say, you know, for my son, he needed to get the speech and language, educational testing, occupational therapy, behavioral. He needed the full battery of understanding the way he gets through each day. And so I think a lot of times when parents initially call me as I'm wearing my integrative psychiatrist hat, it's almost like they don't even know where to start. So I usually kind of point people in the right direction. That might not be with me as an MD, but people, you can go to your school. If you think your child is having a challenge, you can request, it's called an individual education plan. And I'm sure all around the country and the world, there's different language. But that idea of embracing that your child might learn differently is really important. And then I think the other reason, Lisa, I know you listened to Kath and I, the fabulous yes. five for we all process and perceive things in our own unique way. I made that definition as though other beings could come from another universe. So like right. it's like biological, psychological, social, cultural, and spiritually, and then intuition. But you, I just think we have some time here. The other reason why I did the neurostyle is it also gives us a chance to look at ourselves as multidimensional beings. Like, let's say I grew up in the Midwest, someone else grew in the Deep South. I might have one skin color, they have another. You are also a champion. Besides being the champion mother and neurostyle champion for your daughter, I feel like you are a champion for cultural awareness. So I would love to maybe have you just talk a little bit about your, I haven't been fortunate and blessed enough to know as much as I'd like about your show, because I've been so busy doing shows, but can you explain your passion for people embracing their neurostyle from a race and cultural standpoint as well?
Oh, absolutely. I do a show with a wonderful woman named Sunny Days called Active Allyship. It's more than a hashtag. And I hope the title's pretty clear. You know, you can hashtag Black Lives Matter, or you can hashtag different things on social justice. But if you're not really doing anything, you're not having the hard conversations, and you're not having the hard conversations with yourself. You know, if you catch yourself in a bias about a certain type of person or the thing that you think, or a certain culture or certain people, certain skin color, you need to stop, and you need to do the work, and you need to be uncomfortable. I think a lot of, I don't want to say a lot, but There's definitely something in the air with some white people where they just don't want to acknowledge it because they don't want to feel bad. I mean, what's the worst thing someone could call you? A racist, right? So even having any bias or racist thoughts, it's like, no. But why don't you sit back and say, okay, this is the society we were raised in. Maybe my parents raised me this way, but how do I break out of that? It's so important for you to take a really hard look. Now, I was blessed. I was marinated. We talk about on the show, what were you marinated in? I was marinated in the evils of racism at a very early age from my grandparents on both sides and my parents. So it was handed down. I'm also Jewish and experienced a lot of anti-Semitism growing up. And so the people that I tended to connect with more were people of color, and I felt safer. So it's very interesting what you're raised, the way you're raised, and also just all the societal messages. I don't know how anybody doesn't have bias the way we're raised in this world, really. Well, and that's why I think it's so important. That's what we try to do on the show.
So I'm just getting chills, because this to me is the bridge of the embrace your neurostyle, that qualitative understanding that we're multidimensional and that we might not even know that we're not aware. Because you're there, Lisa, I'm here, Denise. We have our, like, imagine us with a little cute cartoon with your cartoon bubble coming out of your mouth, mine coming out of mine and going, hey, hey, ha ha. Okay. So we're like sharing the same exact moment, but then the way we might be feeling, the way we might be judging, the way we might be perceiving, the way we might, you know, it's so unique. And so I think even going into any business meeting, personal meeting, school meeting, it's good to have your own level of awareness. So like my own son will be like, okay, let's just give this, make it tangible. Maybe we can talk about Lila. We'll go back to parenting. My mom will say, not my mom, my son will say, Mom, you know how I am. I can handle one social plan. Like, cause I've taught him that that's okay. Like on 4th of July, I'll be like, do we want to do a part time at the park? This is back before the pandemic. Like, and then he'll negotiate. Yeah, I can do an hour at the park, but let's not do the fireworks. I'm like, deal. So like he gets this sense of embracing and empowerment instead of like, there's something so wrong with him. No, 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 no. You're amazing. Cause you know that that's sensory overload for you. Like, and you know, if people are more sensory empaths, I know that last week when my son was on a staycation with his dad and going to school and me as well, I did more socializing and networking in a week than I had done in like probably 6 months. So on Sunday, I'm like, oh my gosh, I need a pajama day. So like even using like the word neurostyle, like in the hello, sensory overload, I need a pajama day. Or so there's like just all these different fun ways to acknowledge your state of being in that moment. The only moment we have is right now.
Yes. And you know, it's interesting. We went to New York for the first time. We went to New York when she was, I think she was 13, which was a big deal. And, you know, usually you go to New York and you do as much as you can. We literally did one thing other than go out to eat. Like, that was it. And, you know, it seems so odd.
But that's a success for her.
Yeah. We went and saw a Broadway show. We saw Wicked. It was flipping amazing. And that was it. And then the next day we went to Central Park and then that was it. And, you know, rather than running all over the place and then knowing that somebody's going to get sensory overload, what's the point? Right. And the other thing too is it sounds like your son's such a good advocate. Like she's a super good advocate now for herself. You should see her. She crushes those IEP meetings. I mean, she just, since she was 14, it is impressive. I mean, she could have her own business of how to like advocate for yourself. She's very good at it. And I'm really proud of her.
Well, let me just give you a couple of things that my son said. He started a new school where it's like one adult for three children. They're Linda Moot Bell trained. He actually, in fact, I'm going to send you a Thanksgiving card that says, I like school now. He even smiled to me, not today. And he goes, another great day is happening, Mom. He knows that I've told him how happy I get when he's happy. But he did tell me at the first week, he's like, now, Mom, if I start telling you all the kids I like at school, you're going to try to arrange those play dates. And by the way, we've all talked at school. We don't really like play dates. We get enough socializing at school. So then I had to, he's a negotiator. I'm like, okay, so do you want me to wait till, do you want to do like 2 months of school before we consider? Like, yes. So he even knows how to negotiate. He's like ahead of my sensory style. He tags off of me and he'll be like, okay, now Mom, I just got the booster. I'm not going to the dentist this month. I'm like, okay. So like
that's great.
So like this kind of reason for talking about neurostyle, this is why I'm doing like a deeper dive. And also I feel like I'm doing a deeper dive back, like celebrating you, Lisa. I mean, when I'm holding your book in my hand again, and I want to just really pause and I just want to just honor, I feel like it's very important to honor the spirit in our heart and our ancestors. And I just want to quote you, to my mother, Diane, who lived in the shadows of invisible challenges, and to my daughter, Lila, who lives in light and joy, and lastly, to my husband, Ken, who supports me in every possible way.
Oh, that is so beautiful. So like, oh my God. The book came out in 2014. And I'm like, you read that. It was like, oh my gosh.
I'm getting chills because this is like, by the way, the chills are actually everyone. We have that purpose. Like we go through a suffering. We go through a suffering. You as a child with your mom, then you having this amazing daughter, Lila. And then how do we use our life experiences to then serve and help others. And so, you know, I always like to talk about awareness, self-love, and altruism. And I just want to express, I feel like you've taken your life and you've gone and you've done, you're doing it, you're living it, you're being it. Instead of just talking about it, you're doing it. And I think that's the difference of truly embracing your neurostyle or your life. I feel like you're doing it. And I don't know, how does that feel for you?
It feels amazing. I mean, you know, my mom's 26th passing or death anniversary just happened. And I just feel like, you know, she gave me this heart and empathy and kindness. And, you know, even though she couldn't be the mom she wanted to be because of her challenges, she instilled these things in me. And I feel like this way, because she would be so into this. Oh, my gosh.
What would she say? What would she say? What do you think? If we could just have her fly into this interview, what do you think she might say? What do you imagine?
Well, she would be very proud. She would be very excited. She would want to be a guest. I can tell you that.
She was okay, Diane. Was a, we got it easy. Okay. Well, she's like, by the way,
yeah,
Lisa.
She was a talker.
Lisa, I'm here with you all the time. I'm giving you love all the time. Every show you do, I'm so proud of you. I feel like that's what she would say.
She would get proud of me very easily. So this would have blown her mind. Because, you know, she passed and I hadn't gotten my master's yet. I was not sure what I was doing in my life. And it's hard to, you know, when you're at this point where you're in your 20s and you're just kind of figuring things out, and then you lose a parent, you're like, but wait, we didn't get to share in any successes. I was still like a struggling person trying to figure myself out. I mean, not that I don't still have struggles, but you know, that's what's so heartbreaking. That the most heartbreaking thing is that she'll never meet Lila, because she would have been an amazing grandmother. And I just know that. And I, you know, my siblings who have their issues with her also are like, oh, as a mom, tough. But as a grandma, heck yeah.
She would have rocked the grandmother role.
She would have rocked the grandmother.
So,
and that's a hard thing.
So we're honoring the spirit of your mission. Before we wrap up, I think that concept of embracing your neurostyle, being racially aware, and really being mindful of invisible differences. Do you have any other like tips and tools that you want to share with all of us from your shows or like humbling experience or anything else you'd like to say?
Well, I think it's so important to meet your child, your friends, your loved ones, where they're at, rather than where you want them to be, right? Or what you expect or what is normal. And I think that's such a difficult thing in our society is like, oh, she's 17. She should be driving by now, or she should be doing this, or they should have done that, or why is Diane in her room? And why don't you try to see where they're coming from? Try to open yourself up, be more empathetic. I mean, this world really needs more compassion and empathy. And again, going back to the racism, really look at yourself and what you can do, you know, to be better. And also just want to put this out there. I know that a lot of people mean well when they say, oh, I don't see color, but that's not a good thing to say, because basically you do. And that's sort of denying the experience that a person of color is having. We're like, oh, I don't see color. We're all,
well,
you know,
can I say something?
Nice sentiment, but it's kind of BS. I'm just being honest.
But I want to honor your perspective. But what about I see color because I'm on earth, but I feel your energy and I want to understand you?
Well, that's beautiful. But to say I don't see color,
I know.
Isn't
I just
true.
Wanted to. This is me, my neurostyle that just came in the moment, because
that was amazing.
Maybe we should write that down somewhere. You and I, we'll write that down.
We really should.
That's also honoring that we're here on Earth. You're wearing your Earth costume and look. I'm wearing my Earth costume. I come with all my ancestral DNA and my unseen energy DNA, which is why this is Embrace Your Neurostyle and Beyond. But having that awareness. That it's really about our heart energy, but we do come with judgments. We look at each other. I mean, one of the reasons why I've just decided to stick with audio only for now, because I want to just produce a lot, is that our tone of voice, you know, we don't see, I mean, we can see in the pictures of the show, oh, here comes Lisa Davis and Dr. Denise, but on the show, but when we're just listening to our voices, it's like more pure. It's like our energy heart vibration. Right? It's less of a automatic bias on, oh my God, how does her hair look like? Is she, what's going on with her eyeshadow today? Or does she look at how is she rocking her fall look? You know what I'm saying?
Right. Or why isn't she wearing eyeshadow? Come on.
Yes, exactly. So I think we've talked about some pretty, so I think what your big take home point is, like, to try to meet people where they're at. And try to the best that we can not put our expectations onto others, and more be in the moment and see where their perception is, or what, like, like really honor who they are.
Right. I mean, meet them where they're at, but if they're acting racist, or if they're transphobic, or if they're, you know, don't get neurostyle, you don't just be like, that's fine, but you talk with them and you try to find some commonality. And you try to develop a way that you can communicate why, you know, having those hateful feelings or judgments isn't beneficial to the world, right? So it's like meet them where they're at, but also challenge.
The one thing I was going to say to you, since you and I are starting to go deeper dive and like all of our current things we're working on, maybe you and I could do another episode in the new year, because I'm really passionate about what I'm calling perception mismatch. So like using the concept of embracing our neurostyle, but sometimes there's times where one other person's universe is so different than someone else's universe that they can't even begin to understand one another. So instead of saying you're wrong or I'm right, what if we just say I am so far off the mark of even being able to relate to that, that there's just a perception mismatch, so that it doesn't have to be this big delineated divide. Like, so my other big passion, and I know yours, is I'm so thankful to you for, I'm putting my hand on my heart, because I know you and I haven't had a chance to catch up. We're like doing, maybe this could be our next show of Embrace Your Neurostyle and Beyond Perception Mismatch. And, why you and I, I launched the Ascension series, but now I'm going back and deep diving on neurostyle, why you did active allyship. Maybe we can have like a show and tell as to why we want to discuss perception mismatch and how we can have unity discussions.
Oh, I love that.
Okay. I know you and I are such geeks. So, okay. So also I want to let everyone know my neurostyle got freaked out today by technical issues. And then I was proud of myself that we were able to do this interview and I was able to bounce back. So I just,
I know. I'm so glad you did, girl. You're like a rubber band.
I know, but also it's because I love you. And like, the, no, I was literally, I lit a candle this morning. I get really into these interviews, everyone. I'm like, oh, I get to talk to Lisa. I get to hear about Lila. So I just want to thank you for your love, for your heart energy, for your vulnerability, and just all the aspects of who you are. So thank you so much. And where can everyone find you?
Yes. And please do www.lisadavismph.com. Also, I have 3 podcasts. Talk Healthy Today, I do through Outside. You've probably seen Outside Magazine. I'm part of what's called the Healthy Living Group, which is Clean Eating Magazine, Oxygen, Yoga Journal, Vegetarian Times, and Better Nutrition. Then I do another health show called Naturally Savvy, which is part of NaturallySavvy.com. And then I do Active Allyship. It's more than a hashtag. I also have the books Easy to Love but Hard to Live With, Real People, Invisible Disabilities, True Stories, and Henry Winkler. There's an interview with him in the book, which is great. And then Clean Eating, Dirty Sex, which is really not about dirty sex. It's just a play on words. It's how to have better overall health with an emphasis on your sexual health.
Wow. So there we go, everyone. We just heard about all of her avatar powers, and I love her. And thank you, everyone. And Lisa, I'm serious. I can't wait to have you back. I think we should do it sooner than later.
Yes, I'm so excited. Thanks, hon.
Thank you. Thanks, everyone.